Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. All right. Hello, and again, welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. So this is the first episode of the Being Yourself podcast, and I am very, very excited to start this new venture and sharing this with all of you out there listening. If you are just tuning in, this podcast focuses on having conversations about identities in all aspects and how our identities influence us. So helping me start off this first conversation and this first episode is an awesome person who shares my passion for identities. He is a higher education professional and an artist. So without further ado, Miles J, welcome to the Being Yourself podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for agreeing and being, the first to be in my podcast. And
the brave move to be first, right?
The brave move. Yeah, right. I mean, it's definitely been an interesting journey and development and trying to get all of this together. So I definitely appreciate the support and, being a part of it.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I know we've known each other for quite a while now. And it's been a while since we've actually seen each other. And I know we're seeing each other right now over Zoom, but it's definitely been a while. And it's really nice to kind of, get together and chat, even though I wish we could do it over coffee, and do the podcast over coffee. And I know how much you love coffee.
Yeah, not really, though. More of a tea drinker. Yeah. I love the smell of coffee, but drinking it is just not, it's not in the lineup for me. My life.
Yeah, no, I have an entire routine in the morning, and I literally make the coffee in the pot, coffee maker. I boil the milk in the stove, then I add the coffee to the milk in the stove, and I have an entire process.
Yeah, that sounds like a full process, because I hear most people are like K-Cup, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, and they're on the go.
No. I mean, I learned that through when I was, growing up through my, my parents, my grandmother, my aunt. I love my aunt's coffee, and, just it's part of the culture, and I think it's important for me to keep certain things and intact with my culture, right?
Right.
So it's important for me still, for myself, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So cool. I mean, I know that I wanted to give you an opportunity to just kind of like talk about yourself and, introduce yourself to the world here.
All right. Well, I'm Miles J. I work in higher ed as an academic advisor. I've been doing that specifically a little bit over a year, but working in higher ed for over 3 years. I'm also a performing artist. I sing, I rap, I dance. I'm a creative director and also an artist manager. So just spreading myself thin as much as possible is like the goal in life, right? Outside of that, I am also a professional model, and it's just a lot all over the board.
It's good to stay busy, right? Especially during these times, and it's one of those things that we need to try to find a way to, with everything going on in this world, try to find a way to continue and moving on and do what you love, if that's a passion for you.
Exactly, and I have several different passions, and I've decided to pursue them all versus just trying to do one or choose which one to follow. And that works for some people. It doesn't work for all people. And I just do what feels right. And it also, like you said, it helps me stay busy, but it also helps me not get bored with anything. Like I'm always on my toes, ready for the next challenge, ready for the next endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's awesome. So I kind of wanted to go back to being an academic advisor, how did you get into that?
So initially going to school, I wanted to be a guidance counselor. And then working in middle schools and high schools, I realized I didn't want to work with K through 12. bless everyone's hearts who do, but it just was not for me. And I knew I wanted to be in higher ed. Initially, I actually wanted to be an admissions counselor, like kind of traveling and recruiting students to go to college, just because one of my passions is education, especially with like minorities and Black people. When the whole process kind of unfolded itself, I kind of just found myself moving in this direction to becoming an academic advisor. And in the program that I work for, which is specifically University Without Walls at UMass Amherst, the entire department is geared around adults returning to school that are finishing their degrees. And that just kind of stood out to me because there's so many people that start, they stop. I'm a non-traditional student myself, where I didn't start at a traditional age going to college. And like now seeing how many resources and options that people actually have that are there, it's like amazing. Like there's so many different ways you can finish your degree, earn your degree, and move on with your life, whether that be moving up in a job you have, changing careers, or if you're already retired. We have plenty of people that are retired. They just want to finish what they started. And whatever their stories, I just love being like a small part of them succeeding and accomplishing their goal. So I'm just glad that it led me here. And like, I didn't even realize that this was a passion. Like I knew education in itself was a passion of mine. I didn't know academic advising was one.
Yeah. I mean, I think we share that same experience and passion. I think, I was a non-traditional student as well. I don't remember, were you a first generation college student?
I am also, yes.
Yeah. So we definitely do share that. And that has an experience and identity all on its own.
Definitely. Cause it's not the same experience when you're first generation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard. It's definitely hard. And, I think it's great to have, be support for those others that are coming, you know, the younger generation that are coming along, and we can share our experiences with them and help them along and inspire them.
Yes, most definitely. Mm.
So, you know, I know that you share the same passion in terms of, you know, having conversations about identities and helping under, you know, representative, you know, minorities. And so I kind of wanted to start off and what is identity for you? What does that mean? What is the word identity? If we were to identify that, right?
Identity for me has, of course there's like the standard definition where it's just how like society views you and identifies you based on like your age, race, gender, things of that nature. But a little bit more nuanced for me, identity is who I choose to represent as like myself to the world and showcase myself to the world. And the reason for that is as I've matured and grown, I've learned that every identity is not a positive identity. There are some that are based on stereotypes, societal norms, and different beliefs, whether religious beliefs or just different cultural upbringings. Mm-hmm. And that may not necessarily be a positive viewpoint. So I've decided to kind of take control of how I just represent myself to the world. And that's who I want to identify as. Like, if you see me as one thing, that's fine for you, but it doesn't necessarily determine or define who I am and how I want to be represented and express myself. So my identities definitely are more positive and they're based on who I am, what I'm rooted in, my moral values, and what I believe is going to be beneficial to like the world.
Yeah, I really do like that a lot, how you express that, you know, because, when you talk about identities, you know, we have those social identities, as you mentioned, whether society picks these categories, these identities for us, right? And we have our social understanding of that. We have our personal understanding of our own identities, right? And anywhere and everything in between, right? Or out of that. So it's an interesting concept, and I do like the way that you phrase it. It's you know, how you feel, who you feel like you are, and bringing those positive identities to your being, to who you are, right?
Yeah, because the world like loves to have check boxes or just like limiting boxes to where you have to fit in this category, and it's like, but if you just don't fit, then how does this apply to you? Like, you ever seen like those magazines where they have like, oh, take this test. It was for fun, but it was like, take this test and there's only like two examples or two options to choose from. And it's like, but I wouldn't choose neither one of these. It's kind of like that. It's like, you're limited to what you can actually check off that doesn't even apply to you, just to make it through the test, you might still do it and then realize you get to the end and it's like, yeah, I kind of figured this is where I'd end up because it never applied to me in the first place. So the end result is just something completely like out of this world, has nothing to do with you. It's like, yeah, I don't relate. So I again, just maturing and realizing like everything that is put out there in the world is not necessarily for you to connect to, relate to, and identify with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that makes me think about, you know, so I run a social justice program here at the current institution where I work at WPI. And, you know, I had a student, we're having conversations about race and identifying yourself in that perspective, right? And when you talk about, you know, those check boxes, right, you know, we were having a conversation about, you know, when you go to apply for a job or school or something, some type of application where it asks you your race and ethnicity and those kind of things, right? You know, she was having a hard time grasping, you know, she was Puerto Rican, but she was on a darker side, you know, completely the opposite of who, of me, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, but I'm, you know, I can pass off as white. And she had a hard time grasping where does she fall, because she's like, well, I can't check off white. And then she was like, well, I don't think I can check off black because I don't feel like I'm black. And then some, she's like, I'm confused. I have no idea. What do I do? What do I check off?
Yeah, right. And it's like, you're kind of like caught in the middle, like what to put down and everything. Yeah. That's actually a very interesting topic in itself, because I've seen it go both ways, to where, especially specific to like Hispanic and Puerto Rican people, where they're not sure what to check off. Like, do they check white if they're like fair skinned? Do they check black if they're like more on the Afro-Latina or Afro-Latino side? Or do they kind of just leave that blank and just choose maybe Hispanic? And it's like, there's so many different variations. And again, it's just how you identify. Some people do connect with a different culture, and I think that's fine. But if they don't, then for some people I've seen that as an issue. And for others, I'm like, I just think it's how you identify. And sometimes it's just how you maybe identify at that moment. Maybe it'll change later on.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, there's certain identities that I think obviously kind of carry on with you, right? That it's just part of your being and will always, for the most part, be there, right? But there are also identities that are very fluid, right? Sometimes we come to certain identities or some realizations of who we are within time, right? As we, you know, you mentioned maturing, right? As we mature, our identities start to develop a little bit different. We have a better understanding of what are our identities and how to identify ourselves, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, when I was younger, I identified myself as a lot more fun, a lot more outgoing and like into so many different things. I mean, I'm still into stuff now, but then it was just like really quick, really spontaneous. And now it's like a lot more structured, a lot more thought through before I like jump into something, more reserved, and definitely an analytical person. Someone like, I'm very logistical now, and it's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that because this is harmful, or I'm not gonna be like on the highway speeding and like thinking like this is a thrill of my life. It's like, no, like we got to be safe. Like, so just changing and growing in different areas and realizing it like along the way is just fascinating to like think back to when like to the time where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doing that. Not doing that again.
right. But it's our lived experiences, right? And those are the experiences that don't necessarily define who we are, but absolutely helps us, you know, progress and mature, and we learn. You know?
Exactly, and I love, like, it doesn't define who we are. Like, experiences are not the definition of us. Like, experiences are literally just moments that can shape us. But again, you choose how to define yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's awesome. So I, you know, just curious, and I just wanted to, you know, what has been your, you know, your relationship with your identities, right? What has that experience been for you?
Well, overall, like the first one that comes to mind, of course, is just being a black male. So that first and foremost, it's jam-packed. I don't even think we have enough like time to unpack all of that. But just like to touch upon being a Black male, especially growing up in America, it has its moments, if you will. but we all know what's going on now, like Black Lives Matter movement and things of that nature, but it definitely had its moments. And I remember like early on in my, like, I guess my development as a person, when I was about 12, 13, something clicked for me where I realized like I was not the same as some of my peers. And from that moment on, it kind of also shaped me, if you will, to becoming the person that I am. Like, I realized like things didn't come to me just as easy as they came to other people. And not necessarily mean that in a, like, oh, I want stuff handed to me type of way, but more so like as hard as I was working, as hard as I was putting in this effort and energy and trying to stand out, I was seeing that other people who didn't have the same energy, didn't put in the same work ethic, were getting stuff a lot more easily, and I was still being overlooked. It's kind of like realizing like, yeah, it's just not meant for you. But at the time, of course, as being a teenage kid, you're not thinking like some things just aren't meant for you. You're thinking like, if I do the work, I'm going to get the reward. So just understanding that like this was going to become a staple, I guess, in life, like just as a Black man or a man of color, it puts you in this position to where you realize you're going to work hard. You're going to work harder than some of your peers. Mm. And there are going to be times where you don't get the job. You don't get the promotion. You don't get to the interview. You don't get to move on. You don't get to buy the house. You don't get to do certain things in the time that you may want to do them. And it's not to say that you won't get them at all, because I do know that some people may maybe stop by that. And for me, it's a motivating component. I continue to thrive. I continue to push beyond those experiences just because I know that there's a full generation like following. There's a full generation that came before us that want to see someone at least actually get to that point.
Mm. You know, as you, you know, were expressing all of that, and I was thinking to myself, you know, do you remember the time that you came to that realization where, you know, I certainly remember certain things about my identities that I came to understanding, and I realized, oh, you know, this is what it's going to mean for me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, being a minority, a Latino, or, you know, being part of the LGBTQ, you know, family, and as a gay man, you know, there are certain identities that I remember, and I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be tough. And this is, you know, the realization, you know, when was that for you?
The moment that I realized it, like very vividly, at least in my mind, like there might've been times prior, but the moment that stands out to me now, I was in, I want to say either 7th or 8th grade, and running for the National Junior Honor Society. And there was like different positions, like the president of the society, vice president, stuff like that. And I was running for the president, that position, I guess, in the middle school sector. And I remember like doing this full campaign. I remember like doing like going around and like doing what I thought would be the appropriate way to do it, as well as getting guidance from the instructor who oversaw the entire program for that school. So just me in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I have the instructor's support and I'm getting their guidance, I know that I'm doing a strong campaign and people are willing to vote for me. When it all boiled down to it, I'm like, this is a no-brainer. Like, I'm going to win this election. And that did not happen at all. And so that was like the first inkling of it. That same type of situation happened again in high school during my senior year, where it was, I'm running for class president at this point. And like, again, against my own like judgment because I didn't want to at this point. I was already class president my junior year, but a lot of students, including some of the staff and faculty, were like, no, they wanted me to run. I did a great job. So they wanted me to do it again. But it was a lot of work and I wanted to kind of like, you know, cool off a little bit for my senior year, but they encouraged me to do it. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I run a full campaign. I'm doing X, Y, Z. I'm spending all this extra money. And then the same thing happens. I'm like, I'm realizing I'm doing a lot more than anyone else that's running against me. Yet I'm still, and I also have the support of my peers. I have the support of staff and faculty and their guidance. And with all of that said, with all of these, what is the word I'm looking for? Not a safeguard, but like all of these just things in place to help me get from A to Z, I'm still not making it anywhere close to the end of the line. It's like, okay, so if you weren't going to vote for me, why did you all encourage me to run? If you weren't going to actually support me, what was the facade about? So like realizing that there's times where things just are not going to work in your favor. There's times where people are going to say some things that they don't mean, and just trying to navigate through all of that without being bitter, without being upset, without being torn down as a person. And again, just not identifying as a loser and not identifying as someone who didn't make it, and using that as motivation to make sure that you do make it another time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's seeing it from a different perspective that I think will help you or just anyone in general. You know, not trying to focus on so much on ourselves, you know, in terms of like, oh, you know, it's my fault because, well, it's not that it's my fault, but it's, you know, this part of my identity is impacting this, but, you know, seeing it from a different lens and changing that perspective so that it helps and makes it better, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. Because I had to come to terms with, like, I have this thing about control. So like what I can control is making sure that I run a strong campaign. What I can control is the fact that I'm doing the best that I can. I can't control the outcome. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was, I think I connected like the control that I had with what the outcome would be. And that is what I had to understand and come to terms with as well.
Right. And that's, you know, kind of what, you know, I was trying to say that you said much more effectively. But, you know, just right, changing the lens and trying to figure out, you know, I love that what you can and cannot control, right? You know, it's like I tell my students a lot, you know, what can you control and what you cannot control, and focus on the things that you can control, because you're just, you know, wasting energy away and focusing on the things that you can't control.
Yeah. You would stress yourself out trying to focus on that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. It's a lot of energy. So we won't do that. But awesome. Thank you. I thinking about our identities, you know, I know that as we were thinking about this episode and trying to figure out, you know, what we wanted to talk about, I know you had mentioned to me that you're like, oh, wow, I have so many identities. I don't even know where to focus, where to start. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's you know, relatable with everybody. We all have so many different identities that define who we are, right? We in the educational and the professional world, we call that, you know, intersectionality, where we have all these intertwined identities that make up who we are. Mm-hmm. And when I asked you the question about what is identity for you, you know, I think of identity and, you know, you can tell me what you think about this, you know, kind of like if you think about a family tree, right? And you have yourself on the top, you have your main identities, and then whether it's race, ethnicity, culture, so on. And then from there, you have your branches, right? That they add to that. And that's the way that I kind of like to see it, that I feel like it helps people understand all their different identities within, you know, themselves. And when we talk about intersectionality and what does that mean, and having all these different identities that not one of them necessarily define who you are, right? I don't think that just me being Puerto Rican and you just being Black is the definitive, right, of who you are.
Yeah, it doesn't stop there. No, right. It definitely goes way beyond that.
Right. And then, you know, we have our experiences.
Exactly. Yeah, I love. Actually, I like that metaphor with the tree, like a full tree, like the branches. I would even take it a step further and say that some of the experiences and some of the identities are some of the leaves. And when you go through seasonal changes, as you do grow and you mature, some of those leaves will fall off, and they won't be a part of who you identify with anymore.
And, No, go ahead. I mean, I love that. But go ahead.
I just think like that. It's a telling and a great visual. It's a telling way to kind of get the idea of like life is stages. Life is seasons. You will go through these changes, and having those moments to where you realize that you may identify as this today, and you may not identify with it tomorrow. And that goes hand in hand with a lot of different things, like profession, socioeconomic status, types of music you like. Like, I grew up loving to listen to certain types of music that now I'm like, I'll wait, you know, I'll wait until something else comes out or something like that. And it's like, you will go through changes, and maybe that's a leaf that happens to fall off for a season, and maybe it'll grow back at another time, you know, like that is possible. And I think like that visual representation that you mentioned is like a very, very good and a strong example of how to view it.
Mm. Yeah, no, I thank you for adding to that analogy. I mean, that was great. The leaves and that was awesome. So thank you so much. And it's very true. We our identities change, you know, as you were stating earlier, you know, maturing and growing up in our experiences, and they change. They definitely impact us. And you mentioned music, right?
Yes.
And so that's a really awesome next segue into our conversation, because, you know, I wanted to have a conversation with you about your music. I know you do music, and, you know, and then, you know, furthermore, kind of going deeper into that, you know, how does your identity, how has that impacted you in terms of your music, and how do you see that within your identity, right? You know, so talk to us about your music, you know.
With the music, I have a passion for music since I was a kid. Like, I would write songs, and I mean, they were horrible then, but I would write songs and like sing and all this other stuff. And it was just like an outlet for me. Like, it was something I just enjoyed doing. Whenever anything, even then, that I thought, oh, I want to do this in front of people. Once I got to high school, like, I started with dancing and performing in front of people, like, my junior year. And then from there, it kind of took off. Like, I went from dancing into modeling, music I've been doing for about, like, the last 5 years now. And, like, just growing into the artist that I am now, I've realized that there's certain responsibilities that I've taken on just because of certain things that I identify with. Like, I want to make sure that I am professional. I want to make sure that I am representing a group of people who are being represented, but maybe not in the life that they want to, because mainstream does push certain narratives at certain times until they change and decide to push a different one. So I don't necessarily align with mainstream right now. However, I do feel that my sound could be mainstream if the music industry goes in that direction. But with that said, my identity with music and how that has kind of shaped itself is I always wanted to be very aware, very conscious about how I write, what I write. And I'm big on storytelling. Like, I want to talk about love. I want to talk about relationships. I want to talk about heartbreak. I want to talk about things that are going on in the world as far as just being socially conscious and aware and just things of that nature, because these are things that people can relate to. And with storytelling, the best stories are the ones that people can connect to. Cinderella has been told and retold and retold so many times, because you always have the rags to riches story. You always have the falling in love and finding someone randomly story that it's uplifting. It gives you hope. And you always have like the stories where you have people that are the closest to you that are treating you the worst. So people connect to parts of that story or all of the story or just enjoy it. just because of what it stands for. And I think my goal with music was to do something similar, to where regardless of like what song it is, regardless of when I did it, I want people to look back and say they connected to the music at some point. And my goal, even when I started, I wrote this down. My goal with music was never to be rich from it. It was never to like be like the biggest, like most famous person from it. I mean, I would love the exposure, but the goal was never that. My goal was to make sure that when I died and all the possessions that mean something to me, like, are still left behind, what do I have that I can say I gave to the world? What do I have that I can say I left for other people to connect to and to leave my mark on the world? Mm. And music is something that will be there. Like, I can be dead and gone and someone can listen to a song and still connect to it and know that they're not alone, know that there is someone else that either related to them or told their story.
Yeah, I mean, music is such a powerful instrument, right? and no pun intended, but it's just it's just so powerful and it impacts all of us in so many different ways, right? You know, I think thinking about music, do you think that, you know, in your experiences with music, and I love music and I feel like I have a pretty good and eclectic taste, and I can listen to so many different things and experience so many different elements of music and genres, mm-hmm. and so on. But thinking about music and identity, right? So do you think, you know, does the identity impact the music, or does the music impact the identity?
I think it goes both ways, depending on how you look at it. Like, I do have songs that are specific for Black people and like the experiences we have. I do have songs that are specific to people who are in love. I have songs that are specific to people who are out of love. I have songs that are specific to people that want to just party and enjoy themselves. So it's like the identity like that you had at the time, like there's something for it. And then sometimes you're like hearing music and it can change your mood. It can remind you of who you are, remind you of your identity. Sometimes it's unexpected. So I think it goes hand in hand. It depends on like how you look at it, how things like kind of shape you. It's almost like that, what came first, the egg or the chicken. Right. It's like your identity can definitely inspire the music, and the music in itself can inspire who you become. Like growing up, I would listen to different artists, and I can say that there's different elements of those artists within who I have decided to be a representation for myself to the world, because it's inspiring to see like how they did it. And now being able to do it myself, I'm like, okay, I want to incorporate this from this person. I want to incorporate that from that person, not copying them, but definitely using that to shape my identity as an artist. Mm-hmm. And then also moving forward, just using like that identity to just continue with music. So again, it's just hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I what I love about music is, and when we talk about identity and culture, there's the culture with the music goes hand in hand, you know? So I always think about, you know, I grew up listening, you know, to Spanish music and salsa, merengue, bachata, and you know, reggaeton, which is, mm-hmm. Puerto Rico is the reggaeton capital of the world. But you know, the music definitely has a tie with the culture. You know, when you think about, I think about, you know, hip hop, for example, mm-hmm. you know, how did hip hop come along within that, right? Within the culture, the identity, how did that become it, right? Or, you know, I think about, or even, you know, Latin America, right? Think about, you know, música ranchera, you know, Mexican music, you know. There's definitely a tie within that culture and what makes it unique and what makes it identifiable as that identity in a way, right?
Right, right. Yeah, hip-hop and R&B are like the genres that I stick with because I identify with it the most. Like, I grew up listening to it. I grew up loving the artists that that fell into that genre. And, of course, like most of them were Black. So it was what I connected with as well. So just having that, like you said, that identity, having that cultural connection and being able to connect with what it stood for. Like rhythm and blues made you feel love, made you feel pain, made you just realize some things about yourself that you may not have even thought about. And then hip hop, like, especially more so when it first started, like just kind of put things on blast as far as the inequality, the injustices and things of that nature. And then as it continued to like progress, it turned into something where people wanted to enjoy themselves like as much as possible within this culture where we know we're being oppressed. We know that there's injustices and inequality. And it's like, but do we want to always just talk about that? Do we always want to feel bad? And even with myself, like, again, just being very self-conscious as an artist, like I wanted to make sure that I had songs that tied in and it wasn't all like, oh, let's have fun and play in roses. And like, no, there are times where you have to get serious and there's times where you have to like make sure that people are aware. And as much music that's out there already on it, it doesn't mean that people are still listening to it, because of course things become outdated. People want to hear something new, something fresh. So you do also have to do, in my opinion, just play your part into making sure that people are aware of things. And that's just the artist that I decided to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, ever changing. And it's inspiring and how we feel. You know, I definitely believe that, you know, music can fill so many different voids and about ourselves or just in general, you know, who we are. And, but finding, you know, music that inspires, music that motivates you, and finding artists that, or, and I think we're all artists in a way, and, you know, being artists that, you know, you want to inspire others, you want to talk about real stuff, you know, and I think those are the, and those are the, you know, when you make it real, when you make it relatable, those are the ones that stick along. Those are the ones that last and people continue enjoying, you know, generations to follow, you know?
Yeah. When you're like being authentic and just, and it's not like, oh, you want to follow the trend. Yeah, you tend to have longevity. You don't necessarily, again, you don't necessarily have that, like that quick moment in like the 15 seconds of fame type of thing, if you will, or not necessarily. I mean, it could still happen, but that's not usually the goal for people that want to like be relatable and want to actually talk about like the real things and talk about stuff that's actually happening and being that relatable person. But yeah, I mean, I just love music. So it's just one of those things to where like, regardless, and this is just from an experience that I had as well, regardless of like age, race, class, like however you identify, a lot of people have enjoyed my music. So it's like, you don't realize how many people you're going to touch. Like for me going into it, because I identify with R&B and hip hop, in my mind, and seeing that most of those artists were Black, in my mind, I'm like, most of the people that will take to my music are going to be Black too. And that was a naive mindset to have, of course, until I went out and I started performing and I'm like, who are all these white people?
Right.
These Asian people. And like, so like seeing like so many different cultures, so many different people of different walks of life actually enjoy the music and come to me and they're like, I love your music. And they're like following me. And I'm like, this is just completely unexpected, very appreciated, but still unexpected, because again, my mindset was so closed at the time that I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to like get a bunch of like a Black fan base and I'm going to move on and, like with that. And it's just been a completely different experience than what I was expecting to happen. And I love that it's happening, because it just goes to show you that although I identify with R&B, I identify with hip hop, there's so many people that are not Black that do as well. And it's not just siloed to Black people. Like it was created by Black people, but it has expanded and become so broadened that other people are being touched by it as well. And it's just, it breaks it down to where it's like, humans are human. Like,
And it got to a point where, you know, because of why it was created, that, you know, we came to an understanding that it's not just, you know, Black people that are, you know, going through these struggles. There's so many other people that they can relate with it. And that's one of the most powerful things about music. You know?
Yeah. It connects so many people that you just don't think about it will even touch. Like And that was one of the parts of performing, excuse me, that I loved, like seeing the people, like all the people like right there in front of you enjoying the same thing at the same time is so amazing. Like right. Having that crowd in front of you. Because I mean, hearing it over the time, like it's great, but seeing it all in one moment, it's, you can't replace that.
Right. So, you know, I know we're kind of reaching the end of our time, but I wanted to talk to us about what are you doing now with music? You know, what's coming up with that?
So next up, I have a single coming out on December 3rd, and that song is called Excuses. I'm actually in the process of releasing an EP. So right now I'm like gearing up for the first single. The EP will be out at the top of 2021. And yeah, like I'm just excited now to finally put the music out there. I've been working on it for quite some time and the quarantine did not help, but got through it. I like shot my quarantine video for the song. So everything will be out December 3rd. So I definitely hope people enjoy it. I hope people subscribe to my YouTube so they can see the video and definitely follow me on social media.
All right. And it's, where can they follow? Is it Miles J?
Yes. Everything is under Miles J, MyLesJeh.
Perfect. Awesome. I mean, I'm excited. I look forward to hearing, I've seen some of, you know, your videos and I've heard some of the songs that you created. So, it's very exciting stuff. So I'm very excited to, you know, continue and seeing you're progressing and, looking forward to all of that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Definitely next up. So again, I just hope everyone enjoys it. I love the song myself. I mean, I love all my music, but that's like my goal. I want to make sure that I love it. And when I stand behind it, I know other people will definitely follow suit.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really do want to thank you for being, you know, part of the podcast and giving me the opportunity to have this conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it for being.
Absolutely.
Enjoy being here.
Thank you so much. All right. So we'll see each other soon.
Definitely. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. So that concludes our very first episode of Being Yourself. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the very first episode amongst many more to come. The best way, if you haven't done so, the best way to check up on what's going on with the podcast is by following me on Facebook. You may find a podcast on facebook.com/beingyourself. So make sure you go ahead and follow. And if you have Instagram, you may find us on Instagram at being.yourself. And again, thank you so much. And until next time.